take a second. Let's just, man, that's a bold declaration to say that you're the God of the miracle. Man, that's for some of us, like, man, I don't know, like, maybe back in the day, but, like, today, God, are you still the God of the miracle? And so let's just take a second before we get into this incredible gift that we have called the Bible. Let's just declare that, Lord, just you right now, wherever you're at, if you're online joining us, if you're in this room here, let's just say, God, man, help my unbelief. Like, that's a great truth statement. Lord, help my unbelief. God, I believe, I think it's so important that we speak these words out. Lord, I believe that you're the God of the miracle. Lord, I believe that there is nothing that's impossible when you are involved. Just as we sang, just I want you to just take a minute to think about these beautiful things that we sang. We said that he makes seas into highways, talking about the Red Sea, how he parted them. He talks about that he takes dead bodies and he raises them up. And we got plenty of examples in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, what Jesus did. And even after Jesus was ascended, that we see the apostles and the disciples, that they walked in that kind of power where they raised the dead. He's still doing that today. He's taking us out of the deadness of our sin and raising us up to walk in life. That's who he is. He's the God of the miracle. And so, Lord, I pray for just anyone that's listening right now that's like, man, I've got something in my life. I've got a mountain in my way, and I can't see any way through it, around it, over it. Lord, I pray that you would remind us not to just sing about your abilities and your power, but to actually trust you and to walk in that and to trust the process. And so, Lord, would you just release just revelation of who you are, even as we just sang these songs. Lord, I pray that some of these verses would just stick today. And that it wouldn't let us rest, that we would walk in the reality that you are able, that your arms are not short, that you can reach into any situation to reveal your heart. And so, Lord, we just say yes, yes, yes. We ask for this, we ask for this. And this morning, as we open up the Word, can we just take a moment and just offer up, offer ourselves to the Lord. This is something I do when I try to... I take the scriptures and I start looking at them. I just say, Lord, would you teach me and show me who you are? Let's just individually, as we're opening up the Word together in community, can you just right now just say, God, would you reveal yourself today in the scriptures that we're going to open up? This is beautiful. This is his heart. This is the reason why we have the scriptures, is to take us to the Father's heart. So, Lord, teach us today. Would you move in power today as we open up your powerful Word, and may you lead us into truth that sets us free. Lord, lead us into truth that sets us free. For the glory and the name of Jesus alone. We all said, amen, amen, amen. Find a seat, guys, and grab a Bible if you have one, or open up your Bible app as we jump into the scriptures today. Happy Father's Day. We got any fathers here in the house today? We got a couple here online. Happy Father's Day. We're going to pray over fathers here at the end, and we got a special song that we're going to sing over our families. It's going to be beautiful. Today, if you want to get a head start, we're going to be primarily in Proverbs chapter 4. So we'd love for you to turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 4. If you have a Bible app, flip over to Proverbs 4, where we're going to head into most of the day. I want to continue to talk about wisdom today. And I want to talk about it from the lens of a father. So Father's Day, you've all been to church. You know, you get those Father's Day messages and everything, which those are great. Not really where I want to go today, but today what I want to look at is I want to look at a real example of a father passing on wisdom to their children. I think it's a beautiful thing. And so today I want to look at this incredible book that we call Proverbs that was written by a guy named Solomon, who the scriptures tell us that up until his point, that he was the wisest man to ever live. This is Solomon. And he writes some wisdom. And in this chapter 4, what Solomon, the wisest man to live up until that point, what he is doing is he's passing on wisdom to his sons. Which honestly, if you're a father here of a child, or if you're a spiritual father, you've raised some people up in the faith, I think this is one of the callings on a father's life. This is, if you're a dad, listen, this is one of the great callings on your life. It's to pass on wisdom and insight to your kids. Anybody else agree with that? And so today, I want to look at and kind of get a sneak peek into this Solomon, this incredible father. And I wanted to see what he says. So I'm going to read the entire chapter of 4. You can never get too much scripture in church. Somebody say amen to that, right? And so I'm going to read the entire chapter 4. And then we're going to zero in on one verse today. and unpack that and expand on that, but I think there's value. And so as I'm reading Proverbs 4, hopefully you're following along, but there may be a verse that sticks out and you're like, man, later I want to go check that out. And so I would encourage you even today, man, go back in, dig into something else that maybe we're not going to hit in today. This is what Solomon has to say to his son. He says, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live.'" Verse 5 says, "Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will keep you. Love wisdom, and she will guard you." Verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago. The beginning of wisdom is what? To recognize that we don't have it, so it takes humility. So it says, man, the beginning of wisdom is this: recognize you don't have it, and then go get it. And whatever you get insight. Prize wisdom highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. There you go. That's the series title right there, The Way of Wisdom. So he said, I've taught you this way, this path, this wisdom. He goes on and says, I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. And do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Somebody said, man, that's a good word that father give a son, right? Wish I would have listened to that a little bit more. Verse 16, it says, for they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong, and they've robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of righteousness is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. We're going to be digging into that verse right there. He goes on and says, put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways shall be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. This is the word of the Lord this morning. Incredible wisdom packed in this. Now when we talk about wisdom, remember what wisdom is. Wisdom is beginning to recognize God's heart and then aligning with it. That's literally, if you take it down, what the heaven's wisdom is when I begin to recognize, what does God say about this subject? What does God say about being a father? What does God say about being a husband or a wife or being somebody who works or somebody who's in authority? When I say, God, what is your heart in that? And when I align with that, that is wisdom. That's the wisdom that I want to lead with. I hope it's the wisdom that you want to carry everywhere you go. And so today, as we look at this incredible wisdom literature, I want us to look at verse 23 specifically. I think I got it on the screen here. Verse 23, it says this. It says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Keep your heart from all vigilance. From it flows the spring of life. If you have the NIV, it says, above all else, guard your heart, because out of it flows your life. That's what the NIV translation says. And so today, I think it's really important that we understand what the scripture is after. What is the wisdom that's found in keeping or guarding our heart? For from it flows the spring of life. This is what I want to go after today. And so the first thing I want you to see is that it is extremely, extremely important and wise that we would guard our heart. Now, when I say heart, we immediately think of a couple things. We associate words just as we hear them. So many of you, when I say the word heart, how many of you think of love? Anybody in this room think of love? How many of you think of like a real beating heart? Anybody think of a real beating heart? We've got all kinds of people in here. How many Think of like the inner person, like down deep in your center. Anybody think about that? Yeah. So when we're reading the Hebrew text, remember this is not an English text. This is a Far East Hebrew text. When we're reading this, we got to recognize that when they say a word, it means much more than oftentimes it means in our own language. So this word heart in the Hebrew is usually two type of Hebrew words. It's lavav or lev. Lavav or lev. And you can pronounce that later if you want. I don't know. But here's what the Hebrew word heart means. It's a much bigger holistic picture that I want you to see today. It means the inner being. Who Derek is, it's my mind, my will, my understanding, and my emotion. Way, way bigger than just my love, my affections, my passions. It actually encompasses all of what's inside of me. And so today, as I'm talking about the heart, I want you to see that it is the center of the physical, the intellectual, the emotional, and the moral activity of my life. Much bigger than just this organ that's in there pumping out and letting me live. So with that being said, I want to show you a couple scriptures that I think help us understand the importance of why we should guard our heart. If we look at 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him.'" He says, "For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, and the Lord looks on the," what is that? "The heart." Now, is the Lord a cardiologist looking at the heart? Somebody say no. You can talk here. It's okay. We can talk. We can have a little interaction, right? Is the Lord a cardiologist? Although you don't answer that because he is a cardiologist. But he's not just a cardiologist. He's saying, man, I'm not talking about your physical heart, Derek. Like, I don't just look at your physical heart. I don't look at just how tall you are. I don't look how skinny you are. I don't look how handsome or whatever. I look at what's on the inside. I look at the mind. I look at the will. I look at your emotions. I look at the inner man, the man that's going to be there. This is what God says. Now, if you look throughout the Old Testament and you look at different texts about the heart, things like Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted." Does that mean somebody literally has a broken heart, a physical broken heart? No, it means that he's near to those that are going through an emotion of sadness or being down or they're being depressed or going through a hard time. You see, the heart is way more than we give it. Or if we look at Proverbs 3:5, which is a well-known wisdom piece, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your" what? Okay, y'all need to wake up a little bit. Come on now, online, I think they're being louder than y'all. So trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Heart. It says, "Lean not on your own understanding." Now, what is God saying? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He's saying with everything you are, this is what it looks like to trust God. Does it mean your mind? Yes, it does actually mean your mind. Because how are you going to trust in your own understanding? That's your mind. He says, this is what you do. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. It includes your mind. It includes your emotions. Emotions are created by God. They're not bad. Can somebody say amen to that? Now, if they control your life, they can turn really, really bad for your life. Somebody else say amen to that. But emotions really are meant to lead us to the Father. So he says, with all your mind, with all your emotion, with your ability to make decisions, with your wills, with your desire, with all that is in your inner man, trust the Lord. This is what we're talking about today, the heart. Now why would this wise man, why would he get his son in the room and say, "Son, listen to these words"? And in it, he says, keep or guard your heart. Why would he do that? I think we see this in this text that he says, the reason we do that is because out of your heart, out of your inner being, it says that springs of life come out of you, or our life is built. Now think about that. Does anything happen in your life? Any decision that you make, any thought that you have, did anything about your life, just literally think about this for anything in your life, does it not engage either your mind, your emotion, your will, anything? Anybody have anything? No, there's nothing, because everything we do in life, every decision that we make, every thought that we have, every pursuit that we have, it comes from where? The answer's heart almost all day long, okay? It comes from where? Your heart, right? Your inner man. This is what we see. And he says, listen, guard your heart. Keep your heart. Keep watch over it. Because out of that place, out of that inner man, you're going to build your life. Literally, what happens in here is what's going to shape your entire life. You want to know how to change your life? It happens in here, not out here. Like, we so want external things to just fix everything. No, no, no. The heart is where it changes. Listen, we want to see social justice. We want to see racial reconciliation. Listen, I'm telling you, we can do all the stuff out here, but if it doesn't happen here, it's not going to last, people. Because out of the heart is where flows our life. And Jesus, man, he reiterated this time and time again. Think about what Jesus said about our heart. He says, out of the heart, the what speaks? Your mouth speaks. You know what Jesus is saying? He's coming into alignment with what was revealed all the way back in Proverbs. Listen, out of your heart, the mouth speaks. What's happening down in the inner man, in your mind, in your emotions, in your thoughts, what comes out is your words. And it shapes our life. Everything we do comes from this place. And so Solomon, in his great wisdom, he says, listen, guard your heart. Keep it. Protect it. And the next question we should ask is, Derek, okay, I get it. Like, keep your heart, guard your heart. But what are we actually guarding our heart from? Like, anybody else, like, think that's a good question? Like are there, like, you know, heart police or, like there are, like, heart gangsters, like, trying to come? Like, what's coming after my heart? We should ask that question. How am I going to guard it unless I know what I'm guarding it from? Anybody else agree? Like, we should go a little deeper with this thing and not just take it for scripture high level. Guard your heart. Yeah, that's a good bumper sticker. No. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, I think if we just take one thing that I think God wants us to guard our heart from, it's this, is we're to guard our heart from what is false. We're to guard our heart from all that is false. And I say that because as we're talking about wisdom, knowing the Father's heart and aligning with it, what we know about God is that he is what? He is truth. Jesus said this, and most of us know this. He said this, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If you want to come to the Father, you got to come through truth. That's what he says, right? And so as we're searching for wisdom, as we're looking for wisdom, we got to recognize, man, God is wisdom. He's the source of wisdom. He is truth. And so, man, if I want to walk with wisdom, if I want to know his heart, I got to recognize that he is the one who's the plumb line for all truth. Let me just tell you, in a world that says there's no truth, let me just tell you, God says otherwise. In a world that says, hey, your truth can be your truth, my truth can be my truth, the way I see it, Derek, no. Let me just be clear. Derek's truth has to submit to the truth, the way and the life. Anybody else agree with that? And so what it looks like for us to guard our heart is to guard ourselves from what is false. And if I had to take that down a little bit more granular for all of us today, here's the two ways I think God wants us to guard our heart. Number one, a false view of him. Man, you guys, and I know people that have a really twisted view of God. And how many of you know that twisted view of God, it flows out into their life? Anybody else agree with that? Like if I see God as just somebody who's just waiting to punish me, like I'm just waiting, like he's just saying, Derek, I dare you to say that word. I dare you to look at that thing online. I dare you to just not read your Bible today. And if I see God as somebody who's going to come in and boom, guess what? I'm going to live my life out of that heart posture. Do you see how important this is? The goodness of God, the love of God, the justice of God, the grace of God, how important it is for us to have a right view of God, because what our view of God is, it'll flow out in our life. This is what the scriptures tell us. But the second thing that I think we guard ourselves is a false view of ourselves. And I think for hundreds of years, the church has done a really poor job of telling us and proclaiming what God says about us. Man, the church has gotten really good at saying, man, you are despicable. How could you even slither your way in here? How many of you have been in a sermon where you're like, man, like, I don't even want to raise my head up. Like, I don't make eye contact with that pastor, right? Never do that, right? We've done a really good job of beating people up, of telling them how terrible they are. You're trash, and your only hope is Jesus. But here's the thing. God loved us when we were at our worst. And he died for us when we were at our worst. And so what does that say about when we're at our worst? Like, think about that. When we are the worst, that's when the blood of Jesus was shed for us. Do you know what that means? That means even at your worst, you're more than valuable enough for God to die for you. But in our world, in our Christian world oftentimes, we get onto this other thing where we have this twisted view of God that leads to a twisted view of ourselves, and then we begin to live out of that. How many of you know we live out of false selves all the time? Listen, if I begin to believe this lie, this is the whisper of the enemy, Derek, you're a failure. Once again, we're being honest. Anybody else ever felt that, heard that whisper besides me? I mean, that's like an ongoing, like, I gotta come against that. Derek, you're a failure. What happens when I begin to hear that and I begin to believe that? As the heart is, what's gonna flow out? Failure. So as I begin to bind a lie that I'm a failure, I'm gonna begin to live more and more, and guess what's gonna flow out of my life? Failure. This is the false belief that we're to guard our heart from. You know what's different between saying I'm a failure? Listen, I'm not a failure, but I have failed. Anybody else think that's true? Let me tell you, some of the richest people in the world have failed time and time again. You know what they didn't do? They never said, I'm the failure. They said, I failed and I'm learning along the way. Listen, if you failed school, listen, you're not a failure. You just failed some classes. If you have a marriage here today and you're like, man, my marriage failed. Listen, I need you to know, you are not a failure. You experienced a failed marriage. God would never call the one that he made in his image a failure. He doesn't do that. But how many of us think that he does? See, that's where we have to guard our heart. What is true, God, about you? And what is true about me? What do you say about me, God? I don't want to just hear what my spouse says, what my work says, what the marketplace says. I want to know, God, what does you say? And so we are called to guard ourselves from what is false about God and about one another. This is what it looks like to walk the way of wisdom, that we guard our heart, that we keep our heart. And today I want to land on really three practical ways that we can guard our heart today that I think could help us as we navigate the political climate, as we navigate the social and racial unrest, as we navigate the days ahead. I think a huge part for us to walk the way of wisdom is this incredible truth that we're called to guard our heart, to keep our heart. And three ways that I think is helpful to do that. Number one, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down, is that to guard our heart, we have to be discerning about who or what we allow to influence it. You guys probably had a mom that said, hey, listen, be careful who you hang out with because you'll become like them, right? Anybody else had a mom that said that? Like, be careful who you're around because you're going to become like them. And it's great truth from moms and maybe dads, and the truth really comes from Scripture. Don't you love that when moms just take it and put their own name on it? But yeah, it was really God that said it. Listen to what we read in Proverbs 13:20. It says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. It's right there, guys. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Listen, if we're going to guard our heart from that which is false, we gotta be wise and discerning and really aware, what or who are we allowing to influence our lives that are shaping our inner man? Because why? Out of that place, what? Flows our life. Listen. I think sometimes we are way too nonchalant about the people or the news medias or whatever we have in our life, that we allow them to influence our heart so often. And let me tell you, listen, as followers of Jesus, I think we should have friends that don't agree with us. As followers of Jesus, man, I think we should have friends that hate Jesus. That was what Jesus did, by the way. I think as followers of Jesus, we should pursue those that are in the darkest, in the hardest places of the universe. We should be running to those people. But let me tell you, there's a difference between befriending somebody and letting them have influence in your life. Some parents say amen to that. Like, it's one thing to say, man, I got a friend. Man, he is, man, really struggling with all these things. Yeah, I'm his friend, but listen, I'm not gonna let that person necessarily influence my heart. And we know this is true, but man, sometimes we just roll with it, man. I was thinking about, man, if I wanted marriage advice, like, I'm likely not gonna go to somebody who's in the middle of divorce on their third divorce. Once again, that's not calling on that person. It's not saying they're trash or they're a failure. But if I'm looking at their life, I'm like, man, I don't think I'd go to that person for wisdom. Anybody else agree? Or if I'm like, man, I need some wisdom with my finances, I'm probably not going to go to somebody who's been indicted for fraudulent use of funds. It's not wise. But here's what we do. Those are extremes, and you're like, yeah, of course, Derek, but what if we just like back that down a little bit? Like if we were wise and we were discerning to guard our heart, would we really spend so much time with people filled with hate around us? Would we take in their hate? And what I know about when I spend time with people that are filled with hate, guess what begins to come out of my life? Hate. Would I really give my life and my influence to people that are judgmental, that are always trying to separate in teams and this and that? Because what happens when I'm around those kind of people is what? What flows out of my life is what? Judgment, separation, teams. Now, those are the negative, but listen, what about the positive? Man, if I'm like, man, I want to run after Jesus. I want to see his kingdom come. What do? I look for people in my life that I see that kind of fruit in their life. And as I allow those people to speak life into me, as I allow those people to have the inner of inners, the holy of holies in my life, I then begin to flow what I see, right? Let me give you just a little piece of advice for choosing those that you want to influence your life. Look at their life. Do you want your life to look more like them or less like them? If you're young in the room, listen, you need to hear this. You should not give everybody the same influence in your life. And I had this picture as I was preaching today, or as I was preparing to preach, that there are some people that are influencing your life that you need to mute their influence. Mute button. Don't necessarily befriend them or leave them as friends, but don't allow them to influence your life. Look for people in your life that you're like, man, I want to be more like that. Man, they got a marriage. Man, I want my marriage to look like that. Man, take them out to coffee. Man, they're killing it in the marketplace. They're crushing it in the corporate world, and they're still loving Jesus. Man, I want to be around that guy or that girl. And so ask them to go to coffee and just say, hey, would you pour into my heart? Because out of my heart flows what? Life. And so, man, to guard our heart, first and foremost, we've got to guard it in a way by discerning who is influencing our life. There's a verse in 1 Kings 11:2. I think we have it up here. Remember that the person who wrote Proverbs is Solomon, one of the most wise men to ever walk the earth. This is what God gave him, wisdom. But later on in life, man, he got a little sideways if we read the story, right? So look at this text here. This is about Solomon. It says, from the nations concerning the Lord said, and this is what God said, you shall not enter into marriage with them. These are other nations that had other gods. Neither shall they enter into marriage with you, for they will surely turn away your what? Heart after their God. Solomon clung to these loves. He's like, man, God, I don't want to hear it. I'm going to do what I want to do. How many of you know that's unwise, right? The man of wisdom chose to separate from God's ways in this moment, right? What is that? That's not wise. And look what happened. He says he had 700 wives. Somebody say that's not wise. Anybody else agree with that, man? Come on. Somebody say preach that message, right? He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines. Dude was busy, and his wives turned away his what? Heart. Now look at this next verse. Maybe we don't have the next one. Verse 4, I think we have. It says, for when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. You know what this tells me? No matter how good you think you are, no matter how wise you think you are, the people in your life can turn your heart. And so for us to walk the way of wisdom means that we're going to be discerning. We're not just going to let social media impact our heart. We're not going to let the political mantra get into our heart. We're not going to let those voices in our life that are leading us away from God to influence our heart, because out of it will flow, just like Solomon. He turned his life to God, and it had ramifications for his children. So discern what the Lord is doing and watch who is influencing your life. Number two is forgive 7 times 70. If we're going to guard our heart, let me tell you, one of the ways that the enemy loves to get in and bring destruction is through unforgiveness. And when we have unforgiveness, this is what happens. There begins to be a root of bitterness. And here's what happens when we have unforgiveness that leads to bitterness. It's really hard for me to discern what God is saying when I have bitterness. See, it kind of distorts my understanding of God. It kind of fogs up everything. And so, man, when I'm operating in bitterness, it's really hard for me to walk the way of wisdom, because wisdom is knowing God's heart and aligning with it. And so when I've got unforgiveness and bitterness, there's something amiss here, and I'm missing out on what God is saying and what he's doing and what he's showing me. And so the text, Ephesians 4:32, I think shows us such a beautiful picture of why we guard our heart and how we guard our heart. It says this in verse 31. It says, let all bitterness, there's that word bitterness, and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with malice. Was that for social media? Like, what is this for here? Did you hear that list? He said, let's have bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander and malice be put away from us. And then look at verse 32. He gives us, how do we do this? He says this. He says, be kind to one another, tender, what? Hearted. There's that word. Tender-hearted, not hard-hearted. Bitterness leads to hard heart. He said, be instead tender-hearted. And look at how he says do this. Forgiving one another just as Christ forgave you. Listen, I'm telling you, we've got enough challenges to walk this world. You don't need to hold on to unforgiveness. See, the lie of the enemy, what's false is that we believe this lie. Like, if I hold on to this unforgiveness, it's going to hurt the other person. Man, I'm getting them bad, man. Like, I'm holding on to this. But the truth is that actually it never hurts the other person, because they're not thinking about you. And they ain't thinking about your unforgiveness. They've moved on. They're good. They left a long, long time ago, left out. But guess who it's still leaving in a pickle? You. It's robbing you of your joy. It's robbing you of your peace. It's robbing you of your hope and expectation. This is what bitterness does. And I'm telling you, if we're going to guard our heart on the way of wisdom, we've got to live a life where we say, God, I give it over to you. I trust you. I forgive them. And when I say that word, I know I almost always feel like I got to unpack it. But that word literally means, I want you to picture a cutting off. Like, just think about like a bunch of strings attached to you, and whatever that weight is that you feel like you've been offended, it's literally cutting off that debt. That's the picture of forgiveness. It's not saying what happened to you is good. Never, never, never. It's not saying that what happened to you is right. It's not saying that other person was right. It's just saying, God, I'm going to cut off the debt I feel like they owe me, and I'm going to trust you with them. And when we walk with that kind of forgiveness, we've got this purity of heart. And when we forgive, man, it opens us up to what God is saying and what he's doing. And so, man, we discern who has influenced your life. Number two is forgive, not once, not twice, but every time it comes up, 7 times 70, as many times as it takes. This is the path of wisdom. This is the way of Jesus. And then the last thing that I would love you to write down is that we guard our heart by staying connected to God's presence. And honestly, this one trumps every other one, because this one is central for all the other things I've talked about today. That if I'm guarding my heart from that which is false, I want to draw my heart to that which is true, which is the presence of God, right? You guys have heard this analogy before, but man, if somebody's trying to look for fake money, they don't look at all the different types of fake money, right? What do? They study the real thing. They get the $100 bill, and man, they know every little piece of that. And so when something fake comes in, they're like, nope, that's not the real thing. So if we want to say, man, I'm going to guard my heart from that which is false, guess what we need to know? We need to know what's true. And what truth is in the presence of God, we begin to learn what is true. We begin to know who he's like. We begin to hear what he says about us. And this is really the path that David took. If I look at David's life, a man after God's own what? Heart. He trusted the Lord so much, and he walked the way of wisdom. And this is what we read in Psalm 139. This is where I want to end today. And we're actually going to lead into a time where we just ask the Lord to do just this. This is what David says to God. He says, search me, O God, and know my what? My heart, my mind, my emotions, my will, my understanding. All of me, Lord, here it is. Search me and know everything about me. You know what that is? That's a statement of trust. He trusted in the goodness of God. He says, try me and know my thoughts and see if there would be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. Man, this is the way of wisdom. This is how we guard our heart. David is doing just this. He says, listen, God, listen, is there anything that I'm believing that's false? Is there anything about you, God, that I am wrong in my understanding? And God, is there anything in me that's keeping me from walking in your path? Anything, God? And if there is, this is the question. God, will you, in your kindness, will you show me? Will you show me? Because I don't want to be anywhere other than where you are. I want to be walking in the way of wisdom, the way of Jesus. So this morning, what's going to happen is I just want to spend just a few moments of prayer. And then I'm going to pray a blessing over dads in a moment. And then we're going to sing a song called The Blessing that I think is this incredible declaration over our church that I wanted you guys to be blessed with. And then we're going to go out and enjoy the day. Maybe you're going to grill out or go fishing or something. But right now, I just want us to have a David moment where we just get honest before the Lord. And let me just say, if it's hard for us to get honest here, Lord, I don't know where we're going to get honest. Listen, this is a family. This is not an organization. None of us have arrived. We're all on this journey of following Jesus, learning what it's like to be with him, learning what is true. So this morning, we're just going to ask the Lord a couple questions. So I mean, if you want to close your eyes, that helps. If not, there's no special. I pray all the time with my eyes open. Just sometimes it helps with distraction. And if you're online, I would invite you to pray with us as well as we just ask the Lord to search us, to know our hearts. And so, Lord, in your kindness, we know that you are good. We know that you are good. We're going to stand on that truth that you are good. And so when you tell us things, when you show us things, it is always good. It always leads us into goodness. It always leads us to you. And so let's just be honest with the Lord and ask him this question. God, is there any influence in my life that's influencing my heart, that's not leading me to you? And let him minister to you. Let him, if he's telling you something, write it down, put it in notes in your phone. Maybe it's a person, maybe it's social media, maybe it's a news channel that you're listening to, maybe it's a radio station you're listening to. Just, God, is there any influence that's influencing my heart that's not leading to life? Remember, it's his kindness that leads us to change our mind or to repent. So this morning, don't feel condemnation. That's from the enemy. But when he shows you, man, this is influences, man, it's leading you down paths of death. We want to know that. And so this week, I would just encourage you, maybe even today, you take that list that you're sensing and you just, man, what would it look like for me to not allow this to influence my heart anymore? That's what it looks like to guard your heart, guys. This is wisdom. Second question that we want to ask the Lord today is, God, is there anybody who I am holding unforgiveness, where I'm withholding forgiveness, where I've allowed bitterness to have a stronghold? Again, it's not meant to lead us into condemnation and oh my goodness. No, it's the kindness of God. And so right now, if you're like, man, yeah, that person came to mind, or that group of people came to mind, or these 10 people came to mind, and I just want you to recognize that kind of influence in your heart is not leading you to godliness. So in that moment where we recognize, man, this person has hurt me, they've offended me, that I'm holding this back, in that moment, this is what we do. We picture Jesus, we picture that person, and we say, God, I forgive this person. I cut off the debt that I feel like they owe me, and I hand them over to you. I trust you with them, Jesus. And so maybe you just need to do that right now before we move any farther. Maybe you just need to say out loud, God, I forgive this person. This is what it looks like for us to guard our heart continually. 7 times 70. Maybe today you forgive that person and tomorrow that same pain and that same anger comes up. Guess what you have to do tomorrow? God, I forgive that person and I trust them with you. This is 7 times 70. This is how we walk with clean hands and a pure heart. We don't allow anything false to come in. We lean into truth. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you that your ways are incredible and they lead to abundant life. Lord, we thank you for the way you lived, that you lived unoffended, that you forgave even as somebody killed you. Lord, may we learn from you to walk the way you walked. Lord, thank you that the Father was your primary influence. That you walked the way of wisdom, Jesus. Teach us as your kids to walk with that kind of wisdom. Yeah, we bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you work and that you move and that you remind us and that you go through and lead us to Jesus. Thank you for that. What I'd like to do, if you're a father here today, I just want you to pop up to your feet real quick. You won't be here long. We're going to all stand in a second. But if you're a dad, just go ahead and pop up to your feet. If you're a spiritual father, maybe you don't have kids of your own, but you've got a spiritual kid, just like Paul talks about with Timothy. Yeah, go ahead and raise, stand up here. And can we just honor these dads that are in the room? And can we just honor them right now? Yes, thank you, dad. Stay standing here. I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to sing this song here. But Lord, or before I pray, guys, I just want you to know you are valued. Man, the enemy wants nothing more than to rob you of what is true, what the Father says about you. Listen, God has never been questioning why he made you. Never once. Once again, man, you and I, we've experienced some failures. Can we all just agree with that? You're not a failure. I don't care if your kids are growing up. You're like, man, it's too late. Listen, God loves to redeem time. He loves to redeem that which is lost. And so I just want to speak truth of you today and pray over you a blessing. Lord, I thank you for these men. Lord, I honor them right now. I thank you, Father, that you have given us fathers as a way to express the Heavenly Father. Yet, man, we all the time fall short. But Father, thank you for the perfect Father who knows all things and always invites us. Lord, I pray that these fathers would learn how you father. That we would give ear to what you say and what your thoughts are, and that we'd lead from the place of knowing your heart, Lord, that we would walk in the way of wisdom. Lord, I pray humility over these men. I pray boldness over these men. I pray truth over these men, that the lies of the enemy would fall on deaf ears and that the truth of heaven would ring loud. Lord, may we as fathers, may we speak identity over this next generation. May we see incredible things happen as this next generation are raised up. Lord, just man, thank you for fathers. Thank you that you are our Father and that you've given us the way. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's go ahead and stand.